Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Furniture shopping can be overwhelming. There are so many options, and it's hard to know what's actually worth it. That's why I always turn to reviews to guide my decisions. If something has hundreds of five-star reviews, I'm paying attention. And Bob's Discount Furniture has tons of highly rated pieces that make choosing a whole lot easier. Like their Elm dining set, which has over 700 five-star reviews. It's a gorgeous setup with a real marble table and comfortable Bobapedic seating that instantly upgrades your dining space. And at $9.99, it's a super approachable way to get that high-end look. Or check out Bob's Copper Radiance Queen Extra Firm Mattress. Over 400 five-star reviews and recommended by Consumer Reports. It's designed with a copper-infused cover and high-density Bobapedic foam for support. Plus, it comes with a 20-year warranty. And if you're looking for a sofa upgrade, the Modular Bob Sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It's got soft, durable upholstery, storage, wireless charging, and starts at just $250 per piece, so you can customize it without overthinking it. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it is over! The Rangers win! The Rangers win and advance to the Final Four! Wow! What a comeback!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Ah! Sal, you know this song, Sal?
I don't, but I'm being told. Yeah, I'm being told it has some significance here. BT and Sal back on The Fan. We're going to talk some more baseball. We'll get back to the Knicks and Rangers in a little bit, but we're welcomed by Jerry Blevins here in studio. Jerry, of course, you catch him on the SNY pre and post game tonight and tomorrow as well. Jerry, you have Sunday afternoon?
I do. Okay, yep, Sunday I have the next three, the weekend series.
When you said you're leaving, you meant going home for Sunday. So you're doing the weekend series here with the Mets. You're there regularly. You've been on Baseball Night in New York as well. Jerry Blevins, former big leaguer, played for a bunch of teams.
I like him. He's good on TV. What's
appreciate
up, man?
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me. And I appreciate the intro song. I got my adrenaline pumping. Now I'm ready.
So that was your walk-up song? Sounds so like...
What? Not fire,
you don't know me well enough, Sal. I don't. I found out quickly in my career. I played with a few guys that would get so angry on the mound and really like intense, like Grant Balfour. I don't know if you're.
Oh, from the eight. He was crazy.
Literally. Yes. I realized quickly that I can't do that. Like I need to think about this a little more chess than just straight fire.
Yeah.
So that Sympathy for the Devil was like that perfect. It put me in that right mindset on what I had to do out there. So it worked for me.
He's a cerebral lefty, Sal.
I didn't throw hard enough for Metallica. Right. I didn't, you know.
AC/DC,
you know
what I mean? Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, exactly.
What would Sal come out to?
No, I have no idea.
You've done
Simon and Garfunkel, probably.
Hey, don't disparage. Hey, I love Simon and Garfunkel.
On the baseball field, though, you want to be serenaded?
You know what you've done a nice job in, though, Jerry? You've created a nice spot for yourself outside of the game with a unique personality, which I think ties into that walk-up song and deep thought. Like, you know, you're a lefty specialist by many accounts, a lot of teams. Of course, in New York, and that gives you maybe more attention to being in the media, but you're somebody, you do podcasts, you've been on SNY regularly, all over the place, as far as even when you were playing, you did a good job of making your personality front and center. So, I mean, I think you deserve a ton of credit
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's something that I was aware of that, first of all, I'm left-handed, so we're a little quirky to begin with. And I understand, I don't think lefty specialist is a bad thing. I embrace that because every time I came into a game, it was on the line. Like, it was pass-fail for me. Like, if I did my job, the team had a chance to win. If I didn't, if the game's over, basically. And so I enjoyed that aspect of it. And as far as balance goes, that's why I still go back and forth from Ohio to here. I have two little boys, a six-year-old and a four-and-a-half-year-old. I strike a good balance. I was good enough in my career to not need to work, but I love doing what I do. I love radio. I love TV. I enjoy being around the game. I love New York. So I had a very blessed to be able to come here and do as much as I can, but also keep that balance of being at home. Like, I just flew in late last night. My brother coaches my high school team. My nephew's a freshman on that team. They just won their sectional finals game. So I push my flight back as late as possible to watch them win sectionals. And then I come here and I get to come into the WFAN studios, hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
Like, I'm blessed. So it's great.
And Jeff, this guy thinks he can still sniff contact off you for some insane reason.
This is the part that nobody hears, and we're going to tell him now. I got to sit here in between the break, LBT and Jerry talking about their baseball acumen. Of course, Jerry, a big leaguer, and BT's, I played in Maryland.
No, I didn't say it like that, dude. I minimized everything. All right, finish your little spiel. Go ahead.
Then I will say, well, lefty on lefty, I like that matchup. Maybe Jerry versus BT here.
And what did I say?
You said you couldn't sniff
it. I said I have no chance.
I like to believe I could put a ball in play.
Okay. Again, here, this is BT and I were talking. His understanding of who he was as a player, as a radio personality, it strikes a chord because you have to be self-aware of what you're capable of doing. It makes you better because you understand your shortcomings.
Yep.
Sal's the other end of the spectrum. Yeah, he thinks he's the best at everything. If he dedicated himself, he would be in the NBA, but he chose this path.
He's playing guard for the Knicks tonight.
I tell you what, I've said it a few times. I would empty the tank. I'm 40 years old. I would blow my arm out. I never had any arm problems in my entire career. I would lay it on the line to make sure Sal never touched a ball.
Can I catch? Can I catch? In case he charges,
absolutely.
I'll make sure he gets nowhere.
If he charges, I've been dreaming of that day.
Please. Dust one under his face, right. Just one.
I love that. I do love
Kyle Farnsworth. I would throw a spear in there, or I'd use my height and I'd just put a cleat right in the front of that chest.
Farnsworth was a big boy.
I feel like I could hit that guy too. That lunatic. All right, before we get to the Mets,
let's quit stalling on the Mets here.
I do love that Jerry says he would blow out his arm. I do want to just ask you. You said you stayed healthy throughout your career. That has been a major problem.
Good point.
In today's big leagues, pitchers, they're pitching fewer innings. Pitchers are monitored the way that they've never been before. Is there a solution here? What do you think is the reason for all these injuries, and is there a solution?
There is a solution. I'm humble enough and I'm smart enough to know that I'm not smart in the aspects of science and kinesiology, all that stuff. But for me, the reason why I was healthy is a number of things, genetics, the work that I put in, but I also understood that if I threw as hard as I could, I would probably sit 94. And if I threw 94 and I missed middle, it doesn't matter. These guys are going to crush it. So I would back it down and I would hit my spots. I understood that location over velocity for me, if I can find that happy marriage, made it way better for me and I was way more effective. On top of that, I was able to go every day because of it, because I focused in on where to put the ball, and then I knew if I didn't max out all my effort all the time, that I could be consistent. Of course, I went through aches and pains, but I was able to overcome those on a day-to-day basis. So if you learn to back it down, there's a good example of a guy who's the sinker baller that was with the Cardinals. That's now nice.
See that?
That's is pin broken.
It almost took your head. It almost hit you right in the head.
I can't think of his name right off the top of my head.
Sinker bowler, not Wainwright.
No. So he was with the Cardinals through 100. Now he's with the Giants as a starter.
Oh, he's pitching pretty well too.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Jordan Hicks,
exactly. He threw 102 and had no idea where it was going, and he dealt with issues with his back, with his arm. Yep. They've learned to harness that, and it's not everybody can do it. But if you can back it down, get more movement, get consistency in the strike zone, he's a better pitcher now, and he adds more value because he's going to eat up more innings. That's kind of what I did on a much smaller scale. Just being able to back it down and not have to throw as hard as you can every pitch, mm-hmm. you're going to sustain better arm care.
And that starts at the lower levels. I don't need to add to what you said because you played at the level I didn't. But max exertion, kids 9, 10, 12 throwing 90% max effort in January in the Northeast at a gym with a trainer is absolute lunacy. It's stupid. I wish the Mets would have had this approach with DeGrom.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard because you saw how good DeGrom was at that, but his max effort isn't, it doesn't look max effort. It's so beautiful. His throwing motion is so fluid. It's poetry in motion, and the ball just explodes out of his hand. But again, at those velocities, he tasted how good he can be. He was like Gerrit Cole was the guy that just signed that big deal. When DeGrom was healthy, he was head and shoulders above everybody in the game, including Gerrit Cole.
He's untouchable.
He tasted that. Mm-hmm. He was the best pitcher for a 3-year period by far. It's hard to say, all right, I'll be okay and really good at, you know, a lesser value. I don't blame him, especially at this point in his career. Is it worth it to back down at, you know, at the end of your career trying to win the World Series? Or do you want to establish that you're the best in the game still? And so it would have been an experiment, but I'm not sure if it would have been worth it, because he came in at a time where the pitch clock, the ability to see spin, he was kind of at the beginning of that, and then he saw what he could be, and he maximized that. Now, it hasn't worked out health for him in the recent years, but he's the best baseball player I've ever seen, as far as the best at his job. My favorite player of all time. I got to watch Ken Griffey Jr. play. I got to face him. Nobody was better at their job in baseball than Jacob DeGrom at his peak, and I think he believes that he still has it in there, you know, coming off a second Tommy John, we'll see, but there was nobody that could touch him when he was at his best, and it was a beautiful thing to watch. A highlight of my career was watching this guy pitch every fifth.
What a compliment.
How was he as a teammate? BT and Sal in studio here with Jerry Blevins. We're going to get to the Mets in just a second. How was DeGrom as a teammate? Because that was something, you know, that was made to be an issue, how he was in the clubhouse, maybe a little to himself, maybe didn't love New York. You were a teammate of his.
He had nothing against New York. I think that is maybe more on the media side. And even then, he wanted to just pitch and not worry about anything else. I loved DeGrom. I think he's one of the funniest guys you'll meet. He can pick on you in a good way because he's smart, he's funny, he's quick-witted. And some guys are sensitive in that area, and they'll be like, oh, he's mean. But he'll test you, and if you can't handle it, he'll poke every once in a while.
It's a locker room.
You're around each other for 7 months straight every single day, so you're going to get mad at people no matter how nice they are. I like DeGrom as a teammate. He definitely did his own thing. As far as work goes, but he worked his butt off. He worked so hard, it just wasn't in the same manner. And when you're that good, every superstar basically has their own routine at some point. His bullpens became such a spectacle, and he didn't want to deal with it. And so, like, in spring training, he started throwing his bullpens, like, before guys would go out. But we figured it out, because we would, like, grown men at the top of their game would be like, oh, DeGrom throws at like 6:30. I'm going to get there at 6. Watch him pitch, because no media is there. He just wants to work. And we would go in awe and watch this guy work and throw his side, and then we would start our day. He just wanted to be able to focus on his job, and I take nothing away from him. I never had to deal with the superstardom, with the attention that is, so I can't compare what I dealt with what he had to deal with day in, day out, being asked to go. All I know is that when he took the ball, he was an absolute animal out there. And as far as a teammate goes, as long as you show up when we need you, and he did that more than most.
It's going to sound nuts, and I don't know that you can really prove this, although, you know, stats are irrefutable, but different players, kind of different rules, spin rates, technology, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but as great as Dwight Gooden was when he first came up, there is nobody on this planet that can tell me that DeGrom wasn't either right there or slightly better.
Yeah,
nobody can touch him.
I think it's comparable. Obviously, that was I was born in 83, so I didn't get to see it, but I was around, and I've watched it going back and being a part of the Mets family. You grow an appreciation, and you get to meet these guys. Then you go and look, and you check things out, and I've watched the documentaries on SNY.
Yeah.
This guy was an absolute force at 19 years old. It's incredible what he could do. DeGrom, I think, was equal to that kind of dominance, and maybe more so because he developed it at a later age and learned how to do it and did it on the biggest stage as an adult.
But also, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but when Doc's pitching, and this is not to take away from whether it's Steve Carlton, whether it's Seaver, before, like, I mean, it is what you pitch when you pitch. Bob Gibson in the 60s, clearly, whatever. But when Dwight was on the mound, all right, maybe you had a stud first baseman, Mike Schmidt at third base, maybe a big-time corner outfielder that could mash. Your middle infielders were dropping bunts and could run a little bit, like just looking to put the bat on the ball and advance a runner. Center fielder, Brett Butler types, guys putting down bunts, you know, quick twitch guys. DeGrom, now a lot more strikeouts and swing and misses, but guys like DeGrom, 1 through 9 could take a yard. 1 through 9.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Furniture shopping can be overwhelming. There are so many options, and it's hard to know what's actually worth it. That's why I always turn to reviews to guide my decisions. If something has hundreds of five-star reviews, I'm paying attention. And Bob's Discount Furniture has tons of highly rated pieces that make choosing a whole lot easier. Like their Elm dining set, which has over 700 five-star reviews. It's a gorgeous setup with a real marble table and comfortable Bobapedic seating that instantly upgrades your dining space. And at $9.99, it's a super approachable way to get that high-end look. Or check out Bob's Copper Radiance Queen Extra Firm Mattress. Over 400 five-star reviews and recommended by Consumer Reports. It's designed with a copper-infused cover and high-density Bobapedic foam for support. Plus, it comes with a 20-year warranty. And if you're looking for a sofa upgrade, the Modular Bob Sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It's got soft, durable upholstery, storage, wireless charging, and starts at just $250 per piece, so you can customize it without overthinking it. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yeah, not to mention the defense behind him wasn't about the defense. They put the defense together to try to scratch across runs. So, I mean, he had, you know, guys playing that maybe not were in their prime anymore defensively, or the strategically they weren't set. And so he learned to be the best of the best. You watch him, you know, sometimes he would throw his arms up like, how do you not make that play for me or for us? And then he learned to mature in a sense to be like, all right, that's out of my control. I can go in it. But he, again, I don't pretend to know all of the game and to compare eras. I know Dwight Gooden was incredible and dominant. But for me, watching DeGrom on a day-to-day basis was an absolute clinic as to this guy's just better than every single person. One of my favorite things is watching him and Freddie Freeman when they would play against each other. Freddie's, you know, I faced a ton of lefties in my career. When I get asked, like, who is the greatest, there's two names. So first, my first half of my career is Ichiro. The guy's, you know, a Hall of Famer for a reason. The second half was Freddie Freeman. That guy owned me. You can tell by my stats against him. But he just had, he has a way of putting the bat on the ball, and I couldn't read his swing. But when him and DeGrom would go at it, because they were friendly too, you would see them smile at each other. And all of a sudden, Jake's in the ninth inning and throwing 101 on a, like, just seeing two guys that are better than most people battling it out. Like, it's a George versus Bird kind of moment. Yep. And it's just a pleasure to watch.
One more to go back to history here. BT and Sal with Jerry Blevins in studio. We'll get to the Mets and the current stuff with Steve Cohen and the current core of the team. I want to get Jerry's thoughts on that. We'll take a break and then come back and do that. And we'll continue with your calls here with the Knicks and Rangers as well. The guy that I remember falling in love with was Harvey. They wasn't hype. Now, not that DeGrom had the hype either for his first start. But Harvey, I remember watching him even on SNY, like in Double A, whatever it was, before he came up. And I was like, all right, whatever. Then I saw him take the mound in Arizona and said to myself and out loud, who the hell is this guy? You were there as teammates with both those guys. Did Harvey, because to me, I would still at their peak. And I know how great DeGrom was. And I know this sounds nuts, and you're a pitcher and I'm not. But God, Harvey just had that. There was something about him that made him special. Did you get a sense of that as his teammate watching Matt Harvey?
I did, absolutely. So I came in, my first year in the National League was in 14 with the Nationals. So he was hurt. I didn't see the him make his debut. I watched on TV from afar as a fan. I was there when he came back.
In
that
2015,
first return,
right.
You know, the electricity in Citi Field. I'd never felt anything like that. The difference between DeGrom and Matt Harvey from that perspective for me is Harvey embraced the city of New York differently. He loved the stardom that it brought, the bright lights that it brought. And nothing against DeGrom. I understand his approach, but Harvey, it just felt like his appreciation for the city made the atmosphere on his start date just feel more electric. Guys were there. Everybody, the fans in the seats were there to watch DeGrom because it was special. Mm-hmm. When Harvey was pitching, it was special. Not on the same level. I didn't see it. But they were there because he felt like one of them. And so it added an element of just like, this is New York against the world. And so that was fun for me, too. I loved Harvey as well, and I'm still friendly with Harvey. So.
And I love him. Tell him I said hello.
I will.
He had sack like no other. I love Matt Harvey.
Experience?
Right, we'll family friendly.
I like you. I was
worried about me saying something, so I'm glad you did it.
I get him out now because you can't say it on Baseball
Night. Get the rumor out there, Seth.
So we're going to get into the Mets. Real quick, a note on Jerry. Like, the Mets in their franchise history have only made the postseason in consecutive years twice. I know that says a lot about, you know, the ineptitude maybe of the franchise overall, but you were there 2015, 2016. That was one of the two times that they'd done it, 99 and 2000, and then 15 and 16. So Jerry's a part of that team. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get into the current day Mets, Steve Cohen, and all that's going on with Alonso and the core, all of that with Jerry Blevins, who's in studio with BT and Sal.
Speak your mind. 877-337-6666. Powered by AT&T Business.
Studio. We'll get back to your Knicks and Rangers calls. Rangers, of course, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals with a thrilling win in Game 6 last night. The Knicks will try to do the same tonight with a win that would get them in their first Eastern Conference Finals since 2000. Right now, we're talking some baseball with Jerry Blevins in studio. And, you know, Jerry, we relive some of the days of you playing with the Mets and some of your teammates. I want to get into this current group. There was some news yesterday with the tweet that Steve Cohen deleted and talk about blowing up this team. Obviously, the Mets have been a little up, a little down this year. Started out 0-5, responded nicely, still under 500. What are your thoughts overall on the Mets season so far?
I think they're still figuring it out. I'll tell you one thing. They showed fight all season long. They've got grit. They're not willing to just roll over. I don't think they've done that one time this season, which is impressive. But they're not elite. They're not the Phillies, the Braves, the Dodgers. And they knew that going in. But they got a chance at the playoffs. They're going to have to figure some things out. I think they're going to need Kodai Senga at some point, hopefully, in this season. And they're starting to figure out who they are. So they're at a good point to where they're going to decide where they want to be at the trade deadline. And that's the one thing that Steve Cohen said is like, we'll figure it out. And as an owner, he's paying attention. He's understanding what's going on. He's not afraid to make moves. You see that? But it's up to the guys in the clubhouse what kind of moves they want it to be. If they're going to be competitive and start winning ball games, and it should start this weekend against a team in the Marlins that they should beat up on, these are the games that they got to win. And if not, Steve Cohen has no problems on sending guys out. And so that's a message that he sent. But he sent it last year at the same point. Like, hey, if you guys aren't going to win, then let's make the best moves for this franchise and move forward. But they're competitive. They're not elite. I like the product that I see on the field as far as the grit and determination. I love the what I've seen from JD Martinez lately. I think he adds to it. They're missing Francisco Alvarez a little bit more than I thought they would. I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be in it because they're in that same tier as like the Diamondbacks, the Cubs. I'm not sure the Nationals have staying power with their team, but they're above the Mets right now. But I think they're in that tier of making that second, third wild card.
Okay, so I didn't expect much, but I don't think most Mets fans did based on what they did this offseason. A lot of Band-Aids, kind of, all right, let's evaluate what we have from David Stearns' perspective, which I think is smart. Rather than throw maybe bad money to be nominally better, it's a season of assessment. I got that. I think my biggest issue with the Mets here, the Alonso contract is not an issue as much as it is something that's just looming that's massive. I look at this team, and you mentioned J.D. Martinez, respect the hell out of him. Whenever the Mets become a World Series team, he's not going to be a part of it. Neither is Bader. Neither is too many guys who are playing every day. And I know they haven't drowned yet. They're treading some water, and they do have fight and resolve, and I respect that. But if it's me, I'm blowing up the core. I just don't think the core is good enough. They don't seem very connected. You mentioned Francisco Alvarez. He's the second Francisco that I'm most concerned about. Where is Lindor? He's batting 195. It's almost June, dude. I don't understand how Lindor does this every single year. If you are a star, you got to post once in a while in April and May. What's going on?
I understand it. What's your solution to that? You said blow up the core. How are you going to get rid of
McNeil? Trade him for ten cents on the dollar. He's done. I'm not gonna re-sign Pete Alonso. I'm not.
Okay.
Because he's 30. He's a righty. He's not an athlete. He's an average fielder. And now all of a sudden, there's evidence here, Jerry, that this is the second straight year where the average is declining. He's a one-tool player, and the one tool is as prominent as any other home run hitter in the game. But by the time the Mets build this out, and Sal mentioned before, twice they've gone to the playoffs back-to-back years in their history, I want the Mets to be really good for a long time. I think Alonso gets in the way of that if you give him 6, 7, 8 years. I do. Am I nuts?
No, I think I understand that sentiment, but the truth is, How would your team be better if you get rid of Pete Alonso?
He's better right away, but then you can allocate the funds differently. And the one that's a great question, Jerry. A lot of people say, "Well, we gonna find a first baseman who hits 40 home runs." No, but I might find a first baseman who could pick it, who's a lefty, who's gonna give you 35 doubles and is gonna hit 290 to 301 and a little softer in the pop department, but a tougher out.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know who's out there that can provide. I love Pete Alonso. I think his value, we've discussed it a little bit on BNNY, Sal. Mm-hmm. I think he's an undervalued player now because everything is all about versatility, speed. You see all these guys stealing bases. Pete doesn't do that. That is going to bring more athletic, defensive-minded people, more bat-to-ball skills into this game, and guys like Pete Alonso are going to be even more rare. So I think you can get him at a discount now, and then a guy that hits 40 home runs, those don't exist in today's game outside of the Aaron Judges. I don't see anybody coming up that's a traditional power hitter that's going to do what Pete Alonso can do, and he's decent enough. He's palatable at first base. He works his butt off, but you can handle that if he's hitting 40 home runs. I think you can supplement the guys around him to be more athletic, to hit 290 with 35 doubles from second base, from left field. I think you can supplement around Pete Alonso for the next 4 years, 4 to 6 years, mm-hmm. as long as that power stays there. I think you could build around it. I don't think Pete Alonso is the problem. If the team decides that they're not going to make a run for this in the playoffs, and they want to move Pete and try to sign him in the offseason, I think that's the best thing you can do for the franchise, and I think Steve Cohen would understand that.
I think Pete would say no. I think if they trade him...
Well, he doesn't have a say.
Well, no, I mean, in terms of coming back. I don't mean if they trade him. Like,
if they give him the most money, you and I have fought about this.
We have. But I feel like, and I would understand this, and I would back Pete, like, okay, you're not offering me the massive money. We know the numbers the other day, 7 years, 157, mm-hmm. 158, whatever it was, less than Olsen, et cetera, which I get because I do think Olsen, despite his numbers this year, is a better player, slightly, not overwhelmingly better, but better and more well-rounded. If I'm Pete, I'm like, hey, listen, I deserve more. People pay money to come see me. I can understand why he would be wounded enough where even if they trade him and then they offer him something decent and it's commensurate with another offer out there that might come to fruition, I think Pete's going to say, screw you, Mets, I'm done.
It's possible. I mean, we saw an example, a different position, but when John Lester left Boston, I was so surprised that they traded him. He went to Chicago. I was like, oh, he's going to sign right back to Boston. He's a Red Sox for life. Well, guess what? He re-upped with the Cubs, won a World Series there. I mean, you may do that. But if you're saying the long-term contract of Pete Alonso would hamper this franchise, that might be a risk that you're willing to take because you can supplement elsewhere. Again, I don't think Pete Alonso would be offended if he got traded, understanding that this is the best for the franchise. Yep. They would tell him that. They're very front. David Stearns has done an amazing job. Almost some guys were a little bit taken aback of being forthcoming with how they view you in an organization. He came to everybody in that clubhouse. It was like, hey, this is where we see you outside of some unmitigating circumstances of injury. You're not going to be a part of this team, or we see you doing this. Mm-hmm. Harrison Bader, you're going to be a defensive guy. I don't know if you're going to play every day, but we're going to try to get you as many at-bats. Some people are taken aback. David Stearns will tell Pete Alonso, hey, this is the best for us moving forward. We still love you. We still want you to be a part of it, but this is a way for you to contribute to our organization in a different way than you're comfortable with. So I think Pete would be a little bit hurt because he's never known anything else, but he would understand that it's best. If he truly cares about the Mets, which he does, he would understand that's the best move for the organization.
BT and Sal on the Fan in studio with Jerry Blevins. Why do you think? For me, it's not just about the way that the Mets are losing or the fact that the Mets are losing. It's about how they're losing. It's the same core. You and I have had this conversation. It's the same group of guys that failed in 2022 to win the division, failed in the postseason in 2022. Last year were miserable. This year again. Why is Alonso and Lindor struggling to start this season? And this is the second year in a row now. I know Lindor's numbers have been there at the end of each of the last 2 years, and I like him. But it is mid-May, he's struggling, and Alonso on top of it for the second straight year has not been the same player. Why?
Yeah, I wish I had the answer. I would be not sitting here with you guys, to be honest, if I could answer that. That's true. I would be able to spread out that knowledge elsewhere with a higher pocket value. But the truth is, I don't know, and it is causing those guys slumping early in the season changes the entire outlook. Even though their numbers end up like about average at the end of the year, by the time they start to come around, the season's over. So I understand that. I don't know the answer. I tell you what, I think Lindor looks okay at the plate.
Sometimes he's not getting it done.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know the answer to that. Pete Alonso sometimes has looked lost, and he's an easy out chasing pitches that he shouldn't. He looks, you can see it in his body language, but a power hitter is going to go through those lulls. A guy like Lindor, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how to get that fresh start, get him hot early. I don't know what the answer is, but it definitely is hurting the team.
So what's the solution? We know that they could, upgrade in pitching, and we should ask him about Christian Scott, who pitches tonight, as a matter of fact.
Excited.
Yeah, so you're looking forward to that. But how would you then fix this team moving forward? We would all agree, whether you think it's going to be a playoff team or not, like, they're not built to compete with the Braves or Phillies now. How do you then fix that if it's, well, the core is Nimmo, he's not going anywhere. Lindor's not going anywhere. You want Pete back because of the power. McNeil's kind of insignificant. You can move on, replace him with one of the guys from the minors. How is this team getting significantly better starting with next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's starting pitching, and it's development. Christian Scott is the first real starting pitcher that they have with value that in a long, since probably Matt Syndergaard that time. And it's awesome to watch. He actually could be an ace, possibly. Like, he started the same time that Paul Skenes did, and obviously Paul Skenes is throwing 100. It's special. It should be out there. But I feel the same way about Christian Scott. I think he has that ability to put the team on his back and be, I think he could be a number one. And that is so rare to say.
Nice.
The guy's mound presence, when he was in Tampa, he gave up those first three hits to start his career, to start that game. I've seen guys fold during those moments all the time. It's easy for a guy to be overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh, it's the big leagues. I'm not ready. These guys are better than me. What am I doing here? He didn't do any of that. He bared down. He trusted his stuff. His mound presence, on top of his stuff, his slider's great. He has that cutter-slider combination with the speed changes. That's great. His fastball plays in the zone at 94 to 96, which is the biggest question mark for me, is can a guy throw a fastball in the zone and not get damage done? Because you have to be able to throw fastball for strikes regardless. He does all those things, and he has that bulldog mentality out there. I love what I see out of him. And to answer your question, Sal, you have to develop more of those and supplement those with the right kind of free agent signings. You have to go out and get a Corbin Burns to be an ace for a couple of years. Guys like that. Maybe your window is in 2 years. You develop one more guy along. You see it in Baltimore. You see it in Seattle with their core.
The Guardians develop
the Guardians pitching. Development. If you can develop 1 to 3 true workhorse starting pitchers, you can find ways to use Steve Cohen's money to fill in those gaps. You just have to develop starting pitching.
That's when his pocket's going to really pop. When they've got the other pieces, and then he just goes for the kill. Jerry Blevins in the studio, by the way, former big league pitcher. He's on the games over the weekend. Mets and the Marlins, SNY, does a really good job. Just a good, loose delivery, good presence. You guys can tell that listening to him with the radio here. All right, so we can look at the record. We can look at stats and what we have, whatever we want to quantify. We didn't play the game. So we can't sit there and watch and determine, you know, 30-whatever games into his career, what might make Mendoza special. What do you see from the manager that jumps out to you that is really a signal that they hired the right person?
Yeah, that's a great question, BT. I think they found a guy. I think they found a long-term solution that could be, you know, the winningest manager in Mets history. Okay. I truly think that. From his press conference, he said all the right things in the right way. From every time I've met him, he has this air of, I'm a leader of men. He says things. He has the conversations I've had with the guys in the clubhouse. You can tell he truly cares about them as a player, as a person. He knows their families. That goes a long way when you're day-to-day with guys. But on top of that, he's willing to make moves, not because he likes you, but because he thinks it's the best move, and he'll justify that to you. That's the true definition of a leader. There's two examples of from a pitching standpoint, which is where, you know, that's my realm as a former pitcher.
Yep.
When he left Jose Quintana going into that with the ninth inning, he went out there with intention because it's the right move. It was a matchup that didn't look great on paper, but he felt the moment. Quintana was pitching the best. He had his momentum going with him and his demeanor on the mound. He was able to say, all right, everything by the books would say I make this switch, but I'm watching the game. I'm reading my player, the guy that I know. I'm willing to leave him in there. He made that choice on the player side. Earlier in the week before, they were in San Francisco. Sean Manaea was going out trying to get through the fifth inning to possibly win, get a W. And he made the change because of that same thing. He saw the moment. He looked in his player's eyes, and he was able to talk to Manaea, who's been great, been very good, a very good signing for them. He said, hey, man, I just didn't feel it there. There might be a time where I'm going to have your back. I'm going to push you a little further. But this time, I'm going to the bullpen. his willingness to do pro player and pro team, that has everybody's back. It's hard to argue as a selfish player and say, I need that ball when your team goes out there and it's picking up everybody else. So on top of how he's handled the media, it's how he's handled his players on and off the field, behind the scenes. He's making moves that aren't just based off of what the algorithm is saying, what the analytics are saying.
Yeah.
He's doing things according to that.
So he's got that freedom. It's one thing to be able to do
correct.
It, but so the Mets are letting him
and
do that, which is great.
And he's got the confidence to stand at the podium and answer those hard questions, because if Quintana gives it up, that he's going to sit there and people are going to hound him, deservedly so. He's not going to be offended by those questions, because he's like, hey, yeah, I made a choice. It was the wrong choice. I live by that. That's my fault. But when it goes well, it'll help him on all those situations moving forward with his team, because they know he has their back as a team. It may not be you individually, but this is about the New York Mets, and you can't argue as a player against a guy that's looking forward to the best of the team.
All right. We were a pleasure to be joined by Jerry Blevins here, BT and Sal in studio. Jerry, we appreciate it. I know you're going to get more into Diaz. We ran out of time here. I wanted to get your thoughts on Edwin Diaz. Concerned about blowing another save last night. We could catch him, by the way, on SNY pregame tonight as well.
I do have concerns on Diaz, but not long term. I think he's going to be fine. That's one of these things where he's been out of the game for a year. He's going to iron out these details. I like what I'm seeing from him. I like what he's saying. I think he'll be okay, but I also think they might need to start warming a guy up behind him or get him in a lower leverage situation to get that confidence back.
Something you wanted to mention?
I do. Are you guys bourbon guys?
One of my former
teammates, Drew Storen and Tyler Clippard with the Nationals, started a whiskey brand. It's Field of Dreams Whiskey. They have the exclusive rights. I do too, actually, as a part owner.
Wow.
We make whiskey from the most famous cornfield in the world. Last year we released 23,000 bottles, one for every player that's made their debut. They're hand numbered, so you can look up those numbers online. It's delicious bourbon too. But last year we sold 2,000 online orders and it went in 10 minutes. This year we're releasing 5,000 of the 24,000 this year. At drinkfieldofdreams.com. It's on May 20th at 3 p.m. It's delicious. Once those go out, I'll bring you guys a bottle.
Where is it?
Hey, 2,000, 5,000. How about two? As in one, two, four.
No, I'll put one in between and you guys can share.
And of course, you're going to bring one in for Boomer. You know, Jerry, a big Bengals fan.
I am a Bengals fan. I'm excited.
Right. Did you grow up a fan of Boomer, or he was before your time?
He's
a lefty. It's hard to see lefties out there. I'm a huge Boomer Esiason fan. I love watching any lefty do their thing from a golf swing to a shot. But watching a quarterback, everything's set up against him. They have to reframe the entire offense for a guy like that. I appreciate it. Plus, he's one of the hardest working humans that...
Stop kissing his ass.
I've never met him, but like the guy makes me tired just by... I'm like, are you there? I just saw you over here. Like, what coast are you on now? It's wild, but I'm a huge Boomer fan.
Nice. All right, Jerry, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Check Jerry out
tonight, SNY, all weekend long. He's got the pregame and postgame coverage. You can see him also making appearances on Baseball Night in New York on SNY. We'll come back. We'll have more of your calls on the Knicks and Rangers as we look back from last night, the Rangers' big Game 6 win to get them to the Eastern Conference Finals, and we have the schedule, which we could go over the Eastern Conference Finals schedule for the Rangers and look ahead to tonight, Game 6 in Indiana. The Knicks can go out there and take care of business and get to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2000. So, your calls on the other side. Today's call today, of course, Jerry Blevins, and it's brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
You just said Jerry. You know what I heard? Sal. Jerry!
Oh,
that was in my ear. Jerry, great job, man.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?